And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. The subject today is the stripping of the slain. It's in the text there. The stripping of the slain. After a period of war, it can be hours, it can be days after it, there's generally a group of people, and we would call them human vultures. If there's a war, they come out and they go across the battlefields and they take anything that's valuable. Pair of boots, whatever, mementos, coins, any money they can find. And they're like human vultures. And after they pass, then sometimes later, the feathered vultures will come again. We see it in our own town. Some of you remember the days of rioting and so forth, or a bomb goes off and out comes the vultures and they slip into the shops and they fill their pockets and they carry off televisions if they can or whatever they can take. And if there's money about, if there's a till open or money, they gather up anything they can pick up and put it in their pockets and off they go. Here we have a picture in Mount Gilboa. Saul and his army had been in battle with the Philistines. And Saul's army had been cut down, defeated. Saul's dead, sons are dead, many, many soldiers dead. And it tells us there that they came for the stripping of the dead, lying out on the mountainside. They opened their purses, any coins, any money, a sword, a pair of boots, anything that's of value, they'll take it. You say, well, where does that fit today? That fits well today, friend. We live in a day and age when the process of stripping and slaying, and stripping the slain, and stripping before they slay you, it still goes on. The world, the devil, Satan, he's busy. He's busy, there's no love, there's no pity with the devil. This old world, there's no love and pity in this old world in many places. They slay, they strip the fallen. They leave them to die on the side of the street. I could take you to a little picture this morning. A young boy, 20 years of age. Spoke to his mum on the phone the night before. Yeah, mum, I'm off to bed. I'm working tomorrow down in the wee shop. Everything's good. Yes, mummy. I listened to the Reverend Abraham on the internet there. Yeah, good, good. He was good tonight, wasn't he? Yeah, mum. See you tomorrow after work sometime. Good boy. Night-night. Wee boy, 20, off to bed. Mother woke during the night and she didn't feel well. She said, there's something wrong tonight. She phoned her sister. Her sister says, go back to bed and catch yourself on. Nothing wrong. The next morning she got up, she went out, she met one of the neighbors. She says, will you go round and see if my wee fella's all right? He went round to the flat where he was staying and the flat was empty. The boy wasn't there. He looked, he saw a crowd down the street at another flat, so he walked down to it. There was the wee boy lying in the flat, dead. Stripped physically, mentally, financially. Stripped of everything. His clothes, his phone, his money, his life. An overdose of tablets. Saul here began very well, didn't he? Over in chapter 9, we read there, verse 1, that his father was a mighty man of power. So here's Saul, and he's been brought up in a good home. He's got a very strong father, and he's got a very comfortable home. And like many of our young people were brought up in good homes. If you were over in Liberia and saw some of the homes, you'd say, oh my, how do they live? But we were brought up well. I don't know if you ever missed your breakfast. It was your own fault if you did, wasn't it? There's always a slice of soda bread or an egg or a bit of chicken. Oh, there was something there, wasn't there? Cornflakes, porridge. What do you want for breakfast? You've got a choice. Here's a young man and he's brought up comfortable. And we've had our young people and we brought them up comfortable and you've been brought up comfortable and went to Sunday school, church. Had a strong father father that cared for you and a mother that prayed for you. And Saul was a good boy. It tells us that he was a good boy. And he was a young man, chapter 9, verse 2. He was choice young man, goodly. Not among the children of Israel, a goodlier person than he. From the shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people. Big, tall, strong fella. Maybe could have been 7, 8 foot tall. Good looking. Just every girl's idle husband. he was just something. Well built. He was kind. He was considerate. Verse 3, the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. Kish said to Saul, his son, take now thy servant with thee. Arise, go and seek the asses. There's donkeys, they're lost. He didn't say, no, I'm not going. Send some of the other servants. No, he says, I'm happy enough. I'm a humble young man. I'm a happy young man. I'll go. I'll take a servant with me. We'll search. I wonder if some of our young people were sent out to look for 2 or 3 donkeys, would they be so happy at going? Well, they mightn't be so happy. But Saul goes off to search for the donkeys. And as he goes searching for the donkeys, he says, we can't find them, but if we could meet Samuel, he knew about Samuel. And this Samuel was a man of God, and he respected Samuel, he knew about Samuel, and he knew about God. And if he could get talking to Samuel, God would tell Samuel where the donkeys were. Isn't that amazing? All the knowledge that God has. You know, we sometimes get God and we put him in a wee box. We just don't put him in the windowsill like some do. But we have a wee small God. But he's got a big God, Saul has. His respect for God. He believed in God. His respect for God's man, Samuel. My, when they went to visit Samuel, he made sure he had even a little gift of appreciation. And when he went to see Samuel, Samuel talked to him, and Samuel had food for him, and they stayed together. Wonderful. He had respect for this man, a great respect for Samuel. And Samuel tells him, Saul, you have a great future. And he anointed him to be king, and he's going to have a wonderful future ahead of him as king of Israel. He accepted all the news very humbly, and away he left. We look around our young people in the churches today, and we see great potential. We see a great future. We look at that young girl going up through school, and she's becoming good looking, and she's a lovely child, reasonably obedient to mum and dad. There's an odd day or two things just don't run so well, isn't there? But we look at them and we say, what a future that wee girl could be. Man, that could be another Joanne Greer in Liberia. That could be another Noreen in Kenya and Uganda. And so many vacancies out there for young people to go. There's a young man, and boy, he's a strong, healthy young fella. Man, that young fella could do a great work up there in Kenya. Maybe over in Pakistan. And we look at them, and these young people grow up with respect for their mums and dads in the Sunday school. They go along, they have respect for the teacher, they have respect for ministers. They're humble, they're kind. We look at them and we say, what a prospect, what a future. And are we going to allow the devil to strip that from us? How many young people have been brought up in our churches, and they got their freedom eventually, and they allowed the devil to strip all the good things from them. Saul, his greatest enemy was the devil. He couldn't see it. He thought his greatest enemy later on was David. He said, I'll kill David. David's an enemy. He wants to take my throne. And no, it wasn't like that. Devil got a hold of Saul. The devil leaves him lying up on Mount Gilboa. Suicide. Dead. The Philistines come along and cut his head off. The end and the tragedy of a young man with such potential. Saul lost out so much during his lifetime. He lost respect for God. He lost respect for God's man Samuel. Over in one of the other books, it tells us that he died because he was disobedient to God's word. He died because of his stubbornness against God. And he died because at the end of his life, he couldn't find God and he went to the witch of Endor for advice. How sad. Instead of a bright, happy future, oh my, he's dark days, unhappy days, an early death. His relatives come and they take his possessions. The grave takes his body. Well, there's a great debate, did he go to heaven or did he go to hell? Sometimes I read the story and I think, yeah, Saul was saved. Other times I read the story and I say, well, I don't know if he was saved or not. And you know, that's a problem that some of our ministers have. Someone dies in the district. I know of it happening recently. And the minister comes in and he says, well, was this man saved? Oh, well, now, Your Reverence, I remember when he was a wee lad going to the church, he made a profession and he seemed to do well for a while. But then, you know, he got into the wrong company, but we're not sure. But we think he's saved. That's the picture we have here. You say, but Saul had wonderful experiences spiritually. Yes, that's right. Saul had. Saul here is with Samuel in the early part, chapter 9, and he's with Samuel, and the two of them separate, and as Saul goes away, Samuel says, oh, by the way, you'll see three things happening. You go up the road, you'll meet a couple of men. They'll tell you the donkeys are found. Then you'll meet three men, and those three men, and he says, they'll meet you, and they talk to you, and they'll give you a loaf, and then there's, what has he left? All these prophecies were fulfilled. Before he left, he was anointed king. Oh, what a bright time he was going to have. What a nobody else could do. And that's the same with you and me. God has a work for you to do that I can't do. God has a work for me to do that you can't do. You say, well, I could fry a burger. Well, give me a shout and you can give me a hand someday. Some days it gets a bit busy. You'll meet people that I'll not meet. Maybe on the farm, it may be in an office, it may be in a factory, it may be in a hospital. God has something for us to do. And as long as you and I are alive, we have a little job to do. Should it only be a little gift for a missionary? Whatever that is. Place a prayer. Sing a hymn. Oh, we're born into the world for a purpose. This is what's wrong with so many young people today. And where do they learn it? They learn it from their mas and dads. That's where they learn it. And they seem to have no purpose in life. And the devil comes and all the good that has been given to them, he's strips it from them, and they die spiritually. And then death comes physically. Man, the devil can strip you socially. Social stripping. Left alone with no friend. Financially, leaves you bankrupt, leaves you sitting with no money. Yeah, here's Saul. And he had a great future ahead of him. And he says, go up the road, you'll meet two men. Go up the road to further and you meet three men. They've got a kid and loaves and a bottle of wine. And then you'll go and you'll meet the prophets. That'll be something. Ah, here we've got it. And Saul goes up and he meets the road and he meets them all as God has said in chapter 10, verse 6 there. Chapter 10, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee and thou shalt prophesy with them. And shall be turned into another man. Oh, you say, whoa, that's his conversion, Your Reverence. He was saved, you know. Yeah. Verse 7, for God is with thee. Now the question is, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this salvation Or is this a religious experience? You can have a religious experience without being saved, friend. You can have a spiritual experience without being saved. Yeah. Was he saved? Now we'll leave Saul for a moment. Are you saved? Brought up in Sunday school. Went to meetings. Remember that meeting you sat and the tears ran down your cheek? A religious experience, or was it salvation? Saved. Has the devil been busy in your life, stripping away certain things from you? Taken away, as exactly will stay with Saul, your obedience to the word of God. Remember, you were to do something or say something, or you went disobedient. Are you stubborn this morning against God? Oh my, for a time Saul was blessed of God, wasn't he? And isn't that like many of our homes and families? There's been a time when God stepped in and he blessed and blessed and blessed. Remember the time when there was very little money about and God blessed you with money? You come disobedient and stubborn. Socially, friends. Not taking our stand for the Savior. Why, they take Saul here and they make him king. And he's a good man. And he takes a stand and the Spirit of God moved upon him. And he gets the majority vote as king. Now, though some voted against him. But you can read these passages sometime for yourself. And you'll find that he did not hurt those that voted against him. That's interesting. He didn't hurt them. He left them alone. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly, and he goes out to war. He's had a religious experience. Yes, he's got the Spirit of God moving in his life. The Spirit of God's leading. He goes off to war with the Ammonites, and he wins a battle. He's waiting to go to war later on to fight the Philistines. Samuel was to come and offer a sacrifice, and Samuel was late coming. The bus must have been late, or the taxi. There was no buses, there was no taxis, there was no trains. It's possible he could be late, surely. And because he was late, Saul steps forward and he offers a sacrifice instead of a priest doing it, instead of Samuel doing it. And he steps outside the boundaries that God had given him. He's disobedient to the word of God. He's got a disrespect for the man of God. And here's the devil coming and beginning to strip him. Slowly. Slowly. Samuel rebukes him. Another battle comes along and we find he's stubborn and stupid in this battle. He says you're not to eat from morning to night. Now, if you're going out to do a day's work, you better stop in the middle of the day and have a bite to eat. If it's only a sandwich, cup of tea, be nice if it was chips and gravy, bit of steak. And he begs this. You see, when people start to go off the rails, they start to make silly laws and rules. And he says, don't be eating all day, the heat of the day. And Jonathan didn't hear the rule, and Jonathan, he's out and he's in battle, and he finds a big piece of honeycomb has fallen out of the tree. There's been a bee's nest up in the tree and it fell out and he puts a stick in and he has a feed of honey. Man, it's queer stuff. Sticks around your teeth badly, but it's lovely. Man, he gets this honey on him and he feels, I could fight. Man, let me out that enemy. Man, I was great. That honey has revived me. This life of disobedience, this life of turmoil. 1 Samuel 14 and 52 says, and there was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. All the days. Saul's life has begun so well, and it turns into a life of turmoil. Friend, that's the place of disobedience. Whether it's a backslider or whether it's a person who's been brought up in the gospel and they're not saved, it's a place of terrible disobedience. It's a place of stubbornness against God. Then we read in 1 Samuel 15 and 35, it says, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul till the day of his death." The man that Saul should have kept close to him. Bye-bye. We go. I'll talk to you. I want the people to see the outside appearance, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to take your advice. I'm not going to obey the word of God. And Samuel walks away. And Saul, well, you know, he wanted to kill David. David should have been one of the best men that he could keep close to. And then he finishes up, he tries to find where God is, and he can't find God. And we know the story, he went to the witch of Endor. How sad. To see a man brought up, going to the devil for advice. How our children grew up. Oh, our homes are not perfect, but we've done the best we could for them. They leave home with great hopes and they move away. They go off to university and we hope and pray that everything will go well. Over there in the Philippines where Uncle Noel is, he's in the Pasig area. And they leave the outside country areas, the young people especially, and they go down into Manila to get a job, to get work. If they can get a job in McDonald's, it's brilliant. It's a great start. Some of them go out and collect plastic and bottles and refuse and food, and it's hard going. And some of them come down in there and they get a little shack to live in, and there's the music at night. Oh, there's music at night. And there's the dances and there's the drugs and there's the stripping and there's the illness and there's the death and there's the tragedies. Stripped, spiritually dead, financially stripped, socially stripped, every way. Physically. You say, well, that's not like us. Your Reverence, you've got it all wrong. I'm living quite well without God. We have a nice home, I have a car, and the wife has a car, and we have a family, and we were brought up, and I'm not saved, but we're getting on fierce well. The devil hasn't stripped us. No, he has given you all you want, but you're still not saved. And I see those that have been brought up so comfortably, they have a respect for church and Sunday school, but they're not saved. They're surrounded even in illness by doctors and nurses and all the rest of it, but they're not saved. And they take ill and they say, well, you know, I'll get saved when I'm ill, my last illness. And if you watch and know much about it, you'll find that the last illness and some of these illnesses, that you're going to meet them and you're like, well, how are you? Boys, I'm getting better. I'm doing well. I was out of bed this morning. They've got new medicine. Or they're getting new medicine. And the first half or more of the illness, they're getting better. They're getting better. And see the last part of the illness? They're getting that much medicine and morphine. They're not interested in salvation. One man I knew well, I used to work with him, and I went to visit him many a time, and he was ill. Oh, I'm getting better. I'll be home with the wife there too. All right. Then he wasn't all right. What did the last visit I had with him? Read and pray and do whatever you have to do, and away you go. You die like the beast of the field, and you're buried, and it's all over. Friend, it's not. Ecclesiastes tells us it's not. Oh, I see here them dying, comfortable, surrounded by doctors and family, and they die, and they haven't been stripped, but they're stripped after they die. Stripped of heaven. They go out into eternity and they see heaven. And they see the glories of heaven. And they're taken down to the place called hell. How sad. How sad. Oh, somebody told them their baptism forgive them their sins. I heard that in a Methodist church the other day at a funeral. This man was forgiven of his sins because of baptism. Oh, they told him, do good works and you'll be all right. God weighs the good and the bad, but they are not. They missed heaven, friend. But we can't leave it there. We must say one little more thing. After the battle on the battlefield, you've got people called the Red Cross. And after the vultures get out of the road and the fighting stopped, out comes the nurses, the doctors, the ministers, the padres. And they search for someone that has fallen, but there's still a little life there. They go through, he's dead. No. I hear there's a pulse, quick. Medic, medic, quick, here's someone. And they nurse them and they get them and they lift them and they carry them. I see Uncle Noel in the Philippines in the Pasig. And where his church is, the dump is in the church, or the church is at the dump, rather, and they bring all the rubbish in and they pick through it and so forth. And one night he came out in his car and he turned round just out of the church area, and here's a man lying, as we would say, in the bog, drowning in the bog. Noel stopped, he got out, he says, hey boy, what are you doing lying there? Come here. And he got a hold of him, the coat, and he pulled him out of the bog. He says, what are you doing lying there? Boy was drunk. Boy was being stripped slowly by the devil to kill him, to take him to hell. Noel says, come on, we'll get you washed up and get you clean and get you some clothes. What's your name? Val. My sister goes to your church and answered a prayer. Took him in and he got him washed down, and I presume it would be a bucket of water washed down. That's the way they do it over there. Just over the top of you and on you go. Got him washed down, got him some clean clothes. Val came to church. Val could see it. What a trophy. Val's one of the main men that helped build Noel's new church. Out into the battlefield to pick up the remains that's left. Chris Killen goes up to the drug addict. Goes into that home of poverty and brokenness. You say, aye, Chris is a good lad. How did Chris get saved? He was sitting up in bed one night in hospital. The surgeon come down and he sat on the side of the bed and he says, Chris, you know you've made your surgery tomorrow. It's a 50-50 chance of you living or dying. He says, Chris, you look very nervous. He says, I'm afraid to die. I'm not ready. I don't want to die. That doctor begun to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you. He can take away the fear of death. And if you do die, you'll go to heaven. There Chris came to know Christ as a savior. A doctor out in the battlefield, in the midst of it all. That night, the doctor should have been away home, but he wasn't. That night, Noel should have been going on about to another little meeting, but he didn't go. He stopped and got Val washed and cleaned up. I see the prodigal son's father going out every morning and looking, where's my boy? No sign of him yet. I see the old prodigal son's father going out at night when the day's work's done, and he walks down the lane and he says, I wonder, is he coming home tonight? Yeah, friend, don't be one of the vultures of this world. Be one of the medics. Be one of the helpers. Be someone that can sit beside that poor soul that's perishing and tell them of Jesus. That son, that daughter, pray for them. Talk to them. Bring them to Christ. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Another year without the Savior. Well, friend, come to the Savior. He's a great Savior. He's some friend to have. He loves, he cares, he understands. He'll not leave you, he'll not forsake you. Remember going to a funeral. An alcoholic man, very wealthy man. He had so much wealth, he lived in the hotel, permanent. Wouldn't that be nice? no wife cooking for you. But he lived in a hotel permanently. He was going up to bed one night and he'd been playing cards and games and he was very drunk. And he says, "Good night, boys, I'll see you in the morning." And he slipped and he fell over the stairs and he was dead. I was at his funeral. They sang a hymn at the funeral and his mates were all standing at the front of the crowd. It's amazing that they came to the funeral. The minute the preacher began to preach, he read the scriptures, the mates all just turned and walked away to the pub. There was nothing more to take. They'd taken his money. They'd taken his companionship and all the fun. They'd taken all they could get. There was nothing more to take. His relatives took any of his possessions that were left. The grave took his body, and the devil took him to hell. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning and for every blessing. Take us our way in safety, Lord. Bring us back, if it's possible, tonight around thy word, and encourage us today. Take us out into the battlefield, those of us that are saved, Lord, to bring others to Christ, the wounded, the broken, before the world strips them any further, before this old world sends them out to hell. Oh God, help us to be a rescue shot to draw them to Christ. Bless us throughout the day. Give us a good day, even at this holiday time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you come back tonight, we are going to be in Revelation tonight. And we might talk about, they're all talking about the mark of the beast. If you talk, come back tonight, we'll try and maybe mention a few things on that tonight. But go home and eat your dinner and don't have indigestion. Amen.